And that is, each individual needs to do certain things about his own life in this regard. To serve God faithfully and truthfully as we can in life, there are many, many pieces of advice that are given. Do this first. Begin this first. For example, in Proverbs 18, verse 24, he that would have friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend who is closer than a brother. When we find ourselves in life looking at the circumstances of how we act in front of others, we have friends when we are friendly in our mannerisms toward them. First thing is, I want to look at my life and how am I in meeting others and greeting others. Am I an individual who really has a desire for a good friendship? I'm not like the individual described in Habakkuk 2 in reference to the one who has friendship with a person and gives his neighbor to drink that he may uncover his nakedness and sin thereby. But rather a person who is not set upon a friendship for ulterior motives, but a friendship that is based upon being true to God and having a friend in return, a genuine friend. We would want somebody to deceive us and take advantage of us and take us into a way of sobriety or lack of sobriety or drunkenness. We would want somebody to be a friend with us that would come to help us, come to our side, see us in need, call assistance to us. And that sort of thing is the way of life. It's done when we first become friendly. He that would have friends must show himself friendly. Proverbs 18:24. He continues on to say, but there is a friend that is closer than a brother. I think that's more correctly done in the original translation of the text. Instead of the word, and there is a friend, there is a friend that's closer than a brother. But he's making a point of contrast there in that situation. But there is a friend that is closer than a brother. When we find that friend closer than a brother, we find the presence of God himself. For he is closer than any brother. Our Lord Jesus is closer than any brother. Although there may be brothers that are close, and the word brother carries it from it, from the same womb, from the same background. That is the brother. But the idea of being closer than a brother is a concept that somehow or another that brother is not as helpful, not as thoughtful, not as far-reaching in their sight of the need that is there as perhaps someone else, particularly the presence of the Lord himself. There is a brother. That is someone that is, there's a friend that is closer than a brother at times in our lives. I know that over the last several years of time, I've had several funeral services in which there was the name of a special friend that was listed there. That special friend may have come to their side, come to their aid during their time of decline in health and in their time of need. And this person is listed as though this individual is a part of the family, well, a part of the brotherhood of that family. And that person is. And that person became in life closer than the actual earthly brother or sister or other relative of the family, because that person was trusted, that person was a servant, that person was a helpful individual. When you and I find ourselves doing first those things of God, we find the second thing being nice and wonderful for us. And what he says there, you must show yourself friendly in order to have friends. Are you a very friendly mannered person? A friendly mannered person is one who doesn't jump to a conclusion, one who doesn't seize an opportunity to take advantage of someone, as we mentioned earlier in regard to that drunkenness situation, but a person who really does assist us and help us to do things better and richer in life. Are you that kind of an individual with others? Then you'll have friends. You'll have friends that you may not even recognize. And there are people who've gotten in times of illness that they were so friendly to others in life. They could not believe the number of cards that came to their particular hospital room. They couldn't believe the number of people who came by to see and call them. They couldn't believe the number of people that were attuned with their family needs at that point in time. And all because, unaware to them, they were that kind of individual all through their days. Now then, they're in time of need. They're not able to get up on their feet, not able to go and do things like that. But they are now surprised and shocked at the number of people who have responded to them. What a blessing it is to be a friendly individual. He that would have friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that is closer than a brother. Seek that friendship of the Lord himself, for indeed he is. Think about something else that we have in life that we need to first do in life that we find ourselves doing. We need to really assess our enemy's capability. Remember the old story that you've read and that you've heard about Gulliver and Gulliver's ways. Gulliver found himself a very strong-bodied, very capable individual, but he went to sleep in the Munchkins or in the little people's country. And you remember they used some withes that were very, very thin and very weak. But they bound him one night in his sleep and bound him so hand and foot he could not get loose. He had not assessed the enemies around him. He had not assessed his needs. And he became a person in great and great need. The rest of the story is yours to read and find out about. But that was the beginning of it. It was the idea of his strength was no match for the hours that he was asleep and the hours that they used something very small in order to bind him. There's a passage found that I love and use many times in life to teach people a lot of things about how to live for God in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. What I need to do first, I need first to wait upon the Lord. And when I look at that word wait, I don't accept just the meaning that the English would tell me. In the English meaning, you have a waiter that comes and waits on you at a table, and he waits on you, he brings your food to you that you order, and so forth. He goes to get you the ketchup, the salt, one thing and another that's missing on the table, and helps you out in that regard. And then there's another English word of wait. That is when you step up to a highway and you see a car coming or a bus coming, you wait on that bus to pass by. You don't want to step out in the street there and find yourself in the midst of it. You want to be a person who just waits your turn to cross across that way of life. Those are the English meanings of the word wait, and they mean something. And there are those who talk about the idea of waiting, meaning to serve, just to be of service to the Lord. That's a good meaning, a good idea, but it really doesn't match the context of it. And since I was taught from early on to look at the context of a word and context of a scripture in its meaning, look at to whom is the scripture written. Is it written to Christians already? Is it written to Jewish? Is it written to Gentiles? Is it written for the benefit of whomever? And as a result of that, in reading that, I thought about they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. That's a slow process, one at a time. When I read about the eagle, the mother eagle, taking her babies up to a height at a certain time in their development and dropping them. And as they floundered about in their wings, developing strength in their wings that they didn't realize they had, she would sweep down and on her wings she would lift them up and carry them up to the mountain height again and drop those little babies. One by one they would have the strength in those particular wings to fly and to fly away and be their own person. And that's how that mother did. And I wondered how we mount up with wings like eagles. How do we do that? Over and over again we go through trials. Then I took the concordance and I looked up that Hebrew word, kaveh. And I looked up that Hebrew word, it means to put together by twisting process. Like the strands of a rope. So weak in themselves, they're not very strong. But as you weave them together, you twist them together, they become stronger and stronger and stronger. There are people in countries of the world that use that as a rope and a base of the rope on a platform that spans riverbeds and strands rivers below and takes them from one mountainside to another because of the rope that is there. That rope becomes immeasurably stronger as the strands themselves are reinforcing each other there in that way. When we find ourselves going to work with God, instead of taking a pie over to someone's house and saying, well, they didn't thank me for it, they didn't send me a thank you card for it, I won't do that anymore, I'll show them. Instead of that attitude being the mindset, the attitude is, the Lord and I went and took this over there. The Lord and I served together in this matter. When you go with the Lord, it won't matter if you have anything in return. You'll be going with the one who matters more than anything else. And you will go to serve. You will go to serve not for the praise you get, not for the pat on the back you get, not for the return that you receive, but you'll go because you want to go with the Lord. Serve the Lord. I believe there are folks that are bringing items for the pantry here in this congregation now that are finding themselves doing it not for the praise. They don't care about the names of individuals and circumstances of individuals' lives. They're not people who are stepping up to me saying, are people getting this that really deserve to get it and all this sort of thing? The idea is, yes, we're looking into, yes, we want to help, and yes, we want to serve. But we want to serve with the Lord. And as a result of going on with the Lord, we can take food items and care for items and ask questions about and call people up and talk to them about things. We can look at circumstances like that because God is with us in the picture and not just ourselves by ourselves doing these kind of things and deciding on a whim because I don't get a pat on the back for it or praise out loud for it. I'll just stop doing it. Let's not stop doing the Lord's work. Let's not cease at any age of our lives doing the Lord's work. Let's not retire from doing the Lord's work. Let's be people who intertwine our lives with God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's what that word means. It involves itself in service, but you can serve with God. It involves that self, that individual, in his work and labor, and stopping and recognizing a need on a road. That's serving with God and doing his will. But when we find ourselves all together in life, turning our lives over in the activities that we do to the service of God and having God in it as we do personal work, God in it as we visit, God in it as we write a card, God in it as we serve food, God in it wherever we go, we will renew our strength, mount up with wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, and those who can only walk will walk and not faint. That word faint means lose strength. They'll not lose strength. They'll walk with him. What a blessing it is to have that to be the case. So the first thing I need to do in life is need to have God involved in my life when I go about to serve. And then number three tonight. In regard to my own life, what do I need to do first and foremost as the way I think about myself? Some people will never think about cursing others, profaning others, using vulgarities toward others. But upon making a mistake, upon hurting their hand or their foot, upon some kind of circumstance that is not happy to them, they'll profane themselves. Who am I? Well, in Hebrews 12 and verse 9, I recognize the scripture says to you and me that we have fathers of the flesh and we reverence them. Much more should we reverence God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live. We're living here on this earth and we have an earthly father. And as we go through life, we honor that earthly father. It is fitting and it's proper to do. But who am I? Much more than just a physical being. We all have fathers of the flesh and we reverence them. But much more God, who's the father of what? Our spirit. That internal part of us that is made in the image of God, that is eternal, that is non-ending, that is always going to be. When you and I find ourselves being people who put first, it won't be the things that we see immediately and the things of the flesh to be seen immediately, but it'll be the things spiritually that we will be the people of God following His will and honoring Him. And when we say, "Our Father who art in heaven," it will be with the idea, "Hallowed be thy name." How thankful we are for His presence and His blessings in our lives. These are things we need to do first. Think about that. And as we sing this song tonight, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation, remember those who believed in Him needed to be people who confessed their faith in the Lord. In Matthew 10:32, repented of sin, Luke 13:3, went to be baptized into Christ, as you read in Mark 16:16, began to live faithful to the Lord in repentance and prayer, and find themselves honoring, overcoming temptations and trials in life. What a blessing they had. And you can begin that tonight. If you need to come to Jesus, please do so as we stand together and as we sing this hymn.
Come to the feast, leave every care.